It is a delight to be with you. It is always a joy to come to St. Giles, a church of rich history, rich tradition, and devoted service to Jesus Christ. Thank you for the invitation to fill in today. Our scripture lesson begins in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 16, beginning in verse 29, and then we're going to turn to Revelation. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Listen carefully. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, began to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made an Asherah. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Abiram, his firstborn, and set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. And now from the New Testament in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, as a part of the letters to the churches, in this particular case, the letter to Thyatira. Here again, the word of the Lord. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold to this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron as when earthen pots were broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our ears that in hearing we may believe and in believing we may so live. For we seek to bring you glory in our words and our presence, that your kingdom may grow and be strong, that your people may abound in goodness, that you and you alone would receive great glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I got this email one day from this friend and colleague called Keith Hill. And he said, we are doing this thing as a MAG group, and we're going to look at the minor prophets. And we have all selected our prophet, and here's the list that you can choose from. There were two names there, and one of them was Jezebel. I said, that's a lot to ask, Keith. I have never preached on Jezebel in my entire life or career. He said, then it's about time. Thanks a lot. So here we are. And I'm actually very grateful for it because I love to never stop learning and exploring the truth of God. And like you, my stereotype of Jezebel, while not inaccurate, was not complete. It only gets worse. But there is a word for us here. I remind you that you are in a look at some of the minor prophets, and the word of the minor prophets is never, never, never an easy word to hear, because it is forever calling us up short and reminding us of the great injustices in the world and our own hands when we are to be those who overcome it. So, today we zero in on Jezebel. Yes, a prophet, a prophetess. I know, you didn't know that. No one thinks of Jezebel as a prophetess, but she is. Unfortunately, she is a prophetess of Baal. And she forms for us something of a contrast. She is evil. And we are going to see just how evil she becomes. But we need to understand that there is a historical figure in the Old Testament, Jezebel. And in the New Testament, we run into her again in Revelation, this time, I believe, not so much a historical figure in the church of Thyatira as much as those who are living, continuing the attitude and the spirit of Jezebel in that church, which forms the complaint against the church in Thyatira. So first, let's remind ourselves, or possibly teach ourselves, about Jezebel and see what Scripture is really trying to open before our eyes. Jezebel is a person, a historical figure in the Old Testament. It is important that you remember the people of the Hebrews have struggled, and they have actually divided themselves. In their rebellion, they have become a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is known as Israel, and it will fall at the hands of Assyria right about 722 BC. Remember that the numbers in the Old Testament go down, not up, as time goes by. The southern kingdom is known as Judah, and Jerusalem is the center or capital of the southern kingdom, as Samaria is the capital of the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom will continue on after the northern kingdom for a bit of time. but will ultimately fall to the Babylonians in 586-587 BC. And in case you don't have a working geographical knowledge of biblical places, let me remind you that Babylon is what we know today as Iraq. So you can put that together on a map. In the downward descent of the northern kingdom of Israel, Ahab becomes king. I can't take time to get you there, but trust me, it's not a pretty story. There is a continual decline of faithfulness, of wickedness, of rejection, of what we technically will call syncretism, where foreign and pagan gods are adapted in, weakening the faith of Israel. Ahab becomes king. It is not a good day for Israel. He is weak. He is calculating. He does what he does in order to build alliances, and all of it in the name of serving the great God, none of which reflects faithfulness to God. At its lowest point, early on, Ahab marries, you got it, Jezebel. Go figure. He obviously didn't do premarital counseling in a Presbyterian church. Jezebel is a pagan through and through. She is a pagan prophetess, of Baal, the fertility god. She is specifically a worshiper of Ashtoreth, one of the pantheon of pagan gods in Baal. And Ahab marries her. What on earth was he thinking? But characteristic of Ahab, he is making an alliance. He is not pledging love and faithfulness. Jezebel wants her own temple. She sanctions it herself as a prophetess of Baal. And Ahab allows her to do so and builds her a temple in the capital city. And so there in Samaria, the equivalent of Jerusalem, he builds a temple to Baal, the very God that the Hebrews have been specifically instructed to push aside and to cast out. So he builds this temple, but that's not enough. Jezebel brings in her forces, and we're told in other places that she brought in about 850 other prophets to fill the temple. They bring with them their practices and their wares. They are known for sexual practice in worship as an act of worship. Are we offended yet? And it is said that in certain extreme cases, human sacrifice was a part of their worship. She begins systematically to push aside the prophets of Yahweh. She begins systematically to seek to undo them, but you will remember in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, and I can't take time to go through it, but this afternoon, if you want to read a really exciting story that will have you both angry and hilarious in laughter, go read chapters 18, 19, and 20. It is the contest between Yahweh and Baal where the mound of wood is formed, and Elijah calls on God to come down and consume the wood after he saturated it multiple times with water just to make sure it's clear who's doing it. And boom, it is consumed. But then it's Baal's turn. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. The story is hilarious. You need to read it. Hilarious in the sense that Elijah begins to poke fun at Baal over and over and over again, even suggesting that, well, maybe he can't do this because he's out excusing himself. It never happens. And so the prophets of Baal are chased and slaughtered, but as a result, the prophets of Yahweh are annihilated by Jezebel. And Elijah becomes virtually the only remaining prophet. Jezebel has plunged Israel into dark morality and chaos all over the worship of the very gods forbidden by the true Lord and God Himself. Jezebel is a historic figure, wicked, evil, pagan, and deceptive. But in the New Testament, who and what she is picked up again and seen in the church of Thyatira. Something of an example of what surely is going on in other places. The letter to the church is marvelous. Here in Thyatira, first as with the others, they are commended for their service, saying, your love and service to God now is greater than in the beginning. How wonderful that is. But I have this against you, that you follow and allow and exhibit the works of Jezebel. Now, if the language is carefully looked at, it is probably not a person that is being referenced, but it is an attitude and a behavior and a lifestyle that reflects the spirit of Jezebel. An affront to God and contrary to all that God has taught. They're dancing with Jezebel. The bottom line, my friends, is they're dancing with Jezebel. The church is condemned for this behavior, and in the words it says, but I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and food eaten to idols. And we don't have time to divide with Paul's teaching on food offered to idols and what is being referenced here. And so on the one hand, we have this historic person, Jezebel. On the other hand, we have a church living in lifestyle that is patterned after the spirit of Jezebel, the person of Jezebel invading their minds and their hearts, which brings us very close to today. Friends, Scripture wants us to see clearly that dancing with Jezebel is not only dangerous, it's in fact deadly. Jezebel's legacy is astounding. It's captured in one verse. There was none who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab. Listen. Whom Jezebel, his wife, incited. Ahab is listed as the king who did worse than any other king in all of Israel. Because of Jezebel. Dancing with Jezebel works to take our focus off of our faith and the truth. Dancing with Jezebel, flirting and having somehow those little touch points within ourselves and even within our church with the attitudes and thinking of Jezebel takes our focus away from what we are really called to do and be. Jezebel teaches us to tolerate and to include evil in the name of love and generosity. The Jezebels of today are not really so much individuals, though I would suggest to you that there are in fact some around. But they are the attitudes of culture and the world that bring and incorporate themselves into our lives as of those who believe and who come in worship, and we think, oh well, it's the way life is. Such was the case with the church in Thyatira. Jezebel pulls us from our God-given and called mission, my friends. We lose sight of the fact that the church exists to live and to be God's people on mission in the world, and that that mission is a life or death mission. Without Jesus, the world is lost. And for us to hold Jesus in our lives and our hearts and to dance with that which is directly opposed to the Jesus that we love is not just dangerous. It's deadly because it pulls us from that focus. Jezebel pulls us away from the task of knowing the Scripture as the truth that God has given, and it quickly becomes that guide that God has given. It's astounding today. Sunday school is in such a downward spiral across the church, every flavor, culture, and style, that we can almost predict when it will totally cease to be a part of the church's life. And lest we think that small groups are coming quick in as the salvation for this, they're not doing very well either. Because there is that loss of understanding that Scripture is truth. And only in knowing it and applying it and grappling with it can we push away the dance card with Jezebel. Jezebel seeks to show us a view of service in the world that makes serving about giving a good image to the world when it has nothing to do with that. We do not pour out our lives in service and put calluses upon our hands as we are called to do by the prophets themselves, simply to give a good image of God in the world. We do it because this is the way God's people live. We do it because this reflects who God is in the world and because it is a part of what it means to be faithful, regardless of the image it gives. It's not about looking good. It's about following rightly and refusing to stand for the injustices in the world because God's heart is broken when they occur, and we are therefore called to serve in order that the kingdom of God may be present in the midst of the ugliness of the world, the very key thing that Ahab set aside. Friends, dancing with Jezebel puts the lies of evil in our ears, and it just sounds so right, so good, so appropriate in the world in which we live. It seems to just be the way things are, and we must accept those things. Oh, be very careful. God does not call us to separate ourselves from the world. He calls us to be in the world. But not with a Jezebel dance card. Clearly being and reflecting and showing the love, the grace, the mercy, and the truth of Jesus Christ. Matt Chandler, the senior pastor at the Great Village Church, wrote on Facebook, "Yes, in retirement I have become something of a Facebook animal." It's the only way you can keep up with some people. In there, he was quoted just about 2 weeks ago as saying, "When we lose our confidence in the authority of Scripture as the truth, then we tend to believe whatever sounds right." There it is. That's where we are. We dance with Jezebel because in those moments, it just sounds like the right thing to do. In a recent conversation recorded and reported in some of the media, a well-known, strong-believing Christian man was heard to say, "You know, all this sexual assault stuff going on, we need to remember that this is just how men are. And women need to understand that." Really? Was Jezebel tapping on his shoulder? And yet, in our own circles of influence, we know that it pervades and it is present. It's what happens when we dance with Jezebel. Over and over, dear friends, we make acceptable the things that God says don't just avoid but run from by your fastest foot. Be careful, people. Be careful with the things you do and live as the people of God. For in what you do, it is what you believe. And know that you are called to live in faithfulness, that practicality and technology are not the standards of our faith, but the faithfulness to Jesus who calls us to live and to walk and to love and to mirror grace in truth is our call. We have been so slow to face the fact that we have lost much of the power of holiness in our world because we have made a home, a slot, a place for what is truly unholy and even evil in our personal lives, which weakens our ability to stand as the people of God. So how do we overcome this? It's really nothing new here. Scripture has taught us the same thing over and over again, and I would couch it in the terms that I invite you to join the ranks of Jehu. You see, if you read this story on out in the history of Israel, God called Jehu to deal with Ahab and Jezebel. Wasn't pretty. I'm not asking you to rise up in holy war, but I'm asking you to stand your ground for Jesus. Jehu was called to deal with it, and he did. There are Jezebels in our own hearts, in our own minds, and dear friends, in ways only you know, in our own churches. So how do we deal with this? We do it by remaining focused on Jesus and His claim on our lives. We too often forget who we really are. We forget that we are lost, worthless sinners were it not for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are not those who are now okay and safe and sacred in the eyes of God and can go and do what we wish and how we please so long as we give glory to Jesus. Stop looking for your worth and your place in the affirmations of the world and the comfort places in the world that somehow just give you that slot so it's more pleasant. Know who you are in Jesus. One who was lost but now redeemed and loved in Him to live in Him and through Him every day as you walk. Think critically. Let me cautiously add that does not mean being a critical person. After 40-something years of ministry, I've had a few of those around in the name of thinking critically. No, thinking critically is bringing the truth of Scripture to bear, not being a grumpy or gripey person. Think critically using the mind that God has given you and the Scriptures as the truth and your guide. Think critically about what the world asks of you and where you cannot go because you are the people of Jesus, and go where God calls you. When you dance with Jezebel today, she wants you to bring her God into your midst because it makes life more acceptable. But Scripture says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Friends, fix your eyes elsewhere. Scripture says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things and the peace of God will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There it is. So I challenge you with three things for this week. These are doable things. The first is, ask yourself a question. Just in the quietness of your own mind and heart. Where have I allowed into my life what I know Jesus declares to be wrong? Where have I made a place for Jezebel? Where in your own life is there that which you do think, envision, or hold to, that you know Jesus rejects? Repent of it and walk from it. Secondly, ask, where do I need clarity for something, anything? Where am I confused? Where does it seem to be but is not? Come to Scripture and find your answer. Because likely your confusion is because of the dance with Jezebel. Easing in, sashaying up beside, a little flirtation, and suddenly we are confused. Where is your confusion? And lastly, commit to pray for your leaders. You must understand that the leadership in the church today is as hard as it has ever been. There has never been a time, I believe, in modern history where church leaders are as challenged as they are. Your pastor, your elders, your key leaders, surround them with your prayer. It's so easy to come and to sashay up and to dance a little bit with Jezebel because it just seems to make things better and easier. And once on the dance card, who knows where it goes? Pray for their protection. Pray for their steadfastness of faith. Pray for their faithfulness in leading the life of a congregation as wondrous and wonderful as this. Do these three. By doing, I believe, Jezebel will find it much harder to draw you into a dance. And God will be greatly praised. Glory be to God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, your glory abounds. And yet we confess that we have tainted it here and there, in this point and that point, in this place and that place. Lord, we pour out repentance before you, but not just to be absolved, but that we might shine the brass of faith, make the silver sparkle, that we might be strong in all that we do, in order that your name may be praised and untainted and untarnished to the glory of your name. Protect us from Jezebel. In the name of Jesus, amen.